hear the call and want to come together and join forces. And that's what this spiritual battle is all about. We have to join forces.
Hey, welcome everyone. Grace Force Podcast here, the U.S. Grace Force Podcast, an official branch of the United States military. They just don't know that yet. I'm here with my good friend, Father Richard Heilman. We've got a great friend who's going to be with us, Pat, tonight, and I'm going to let Father introduce him in a moment. But before we do, we got a few housekeeping things to get to. And Father, of course, the most important thing, not a housekeeping thing, the most important thing is to turn this over to prayer. So, Father, I leave this to your very capable priestly hands.
All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls, amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Awesome. Well, as always, we first and foremost want to thank everybody out there who's been our supporters. You have been just doing a tremendous job helping us out. You keep us in your prayers. We know this. We hear this regularly from people. Father Heilman and I get a lot of great comments from people, both in person and through email comments and so forth from each podcast that come out. So we thank you all for that. We especially want to thank our patrons out there through Patreon. You are doing a tremendous job in helping us. The many people behind the scenes, being able to produce this every week takes quite a bit. So we're very thankful so much that you are contributing to help us. If anybody's interested in becoming a patron, click the link below, the Patreon link below, and it'll take you out to where you need to go. We ask you to prayerfully consider if the Holy Spirit you feel might be calling you to help support the work that we're doing. And again, we thank you very much for that. Also, click the link for the U.S. Grace Force official gear page. Going out, take a look at the official gear that we've got, t-shirts, coffee mugs, little baby onesies. We got all kinds of stuff out there, long sleeve, short sleeve, hoodies, sweatshirts. It's fall now, of course, so we're encouraging people, you know, get yourself geared up for the fall, winter wear out there with sweatshirts and hoodies and such. And everything you buy also helps support the work that we're doing here, so we thank you for that. And one last thing is on October 13th, if you're listening to this before, on October 13th, we will be releasing the Battle Ready Emergency Preparedness course. And if you're listening to this after the 13th, it's already out. You can click the link and go on out and take a look at it. This is to help us, through the eyes of what the church teaches, be better prepared spiritually and physically for any crisis that may come our way. And we're not going to cover every single little detail because we don't know what things can look like. In fact, we didn't know just 6-7 months ago that we'd be dealing with this thing called a virus. That's all I'll say. But we have had to adapt to it. Well, this emergency preparedness course is the type of thing that will help you be better prepared to handle whatever crisis, be it a flat tire on the side of the road to civil unrest and a corrupt upside down world. So please consider going on out there to the link below for the Battle Ready Emergency Preparedness course and going out, take a look and see if you're interested in purchasing that course and helping you and your loved ones be better prepared. And of course, always through the eyes of what God gives us as a moral foundation to the Catholic Church. That's where we come from with this entire course. And Father, I know you know Pat better than I, so I'm going to turn this over and let you introduce this great guy. He's a great friend over the years. I've worked with him. He's one of those behind the scenes guys, I think, that really makes things happen. Like you and I get to be on the podcast every week, you know, get up and give the talks and such. And Pat does that too sometimes. But I just know, Pat, the emails you send, setting up the Rosary Coast to Coast event and so forth, you're just one of those guys that's indispensable. So I just thank you for that, brother, first and foremost. So, but Father, I'll turn it over to you and let you introduce this fine friend and guest of ours tonight.
I'm excited to introduce Pat. Pat, you and I have gone back now 5 years. And but a little bit about Pat. Pat is a marketing background and very much shows in how he has a sense of, you know, how to do things and present things the right way. And he's been our fearless leader behind the scenes. Pat, you know, manages the whole thing and we just kind of follow along. But he has a beautiful, lovely wife, Katie, who and they live up by the Wisconsin Dells, and I was just up there not too long ago and got a nice meal, and we were out on your pontoon boat, and it was great. But just a great guy. And again, but Pat has a sense of just putting things in the right chronological order, making sure that everything's, you know, accomplished, you know, piece by piece, you know, putting all those puzzles together. Just amazing to be with you, Pat. And Pat, if you would, maybe we could start you out by telling just how this all began and how we got to where we are today.
Absolutely. Love to do that. You'd call me a marketing guy, that I am, but I'm also a beer guy. Spent 36 years in the beer industry.
Nice.
Most of it in marketing. And that was a great career, wonderful people, wonderful business. You work hard and you find ways to also relax and kick back a little bit. So it's a great lifestyle. 2016 is kind of like 2020, very small in comparison to what we're dealing with this year. But in 2016, I had just attended a Men of Christ conference, and some of you may know the Men of Christ out of the Milwaukee Archdiocese. They put on one of the biggest, if not the biggest, men's Catholic conference in the country. And I know the head of it, Kevin O'Brien, real well. We had actually met through a work meeting. And he was a supplier for us. And I attended, they've been having that conferences since 2007. I've attended every one except the first one, because Kevin and I met up after that. And in 2016, I had just come out of their Men of Christ conference, and I just felt a call. I can't hardly describe it, but I just felt a call, just looking at what was going on around us, looking at the inspiration of the speakers and the devotion and the prayer and being in front of the Blessed Sacrament at this conference. And I just walked out of that conference feeling like I really need to do more than I'm doing right now. And so I got home, I prayed on it, thought about it, and I crafted an email to Kevin with an idea, so I left it in my drafts. I didn't send it right away. I thought, well, let me think about this. Let me pray about it. And within 2 days of that sitting in my drafts, my wife, Katie, comes up to me and says, "You got to send that to Kevin." So my first thought is, what the heck are you doing in my emails? Once I got over that,
<All right.
laughs> I did send it to him, and I got an almost immediate response. Wow. Kevin called me back and said, I think I know what I can do about this. So here's the idea. I, coming out of the Men of Christ conference, I said, we gotta get a bunch of people together to pray. We need a national prayer campaign. And because this is an election year and it's so pivotal for us in 2016, we need to be in Washington, D.C. in our nation's capital, and we need rosary rallies in our nation's capital. So we need to get people to Washington, D.C., and we need to have rosary rallies there. So based on that and getting that idea to Kevin, he said, "I know a guy." So he calls someone who ended up joining our organizing team, Larry Sirignano in D.C. And here's what Larry said, Kevin. Larry said, "I just talked to a woman in the last few days who has the same idea. I need to connect them." So Kevin calls me back, says, Pat, I'm literally shaking. I heard from Larry. He's got somebody he wants to connect you to. So, you know, talk to her." So I called Larry, talked to him. He connected me to a woman, Julia Haig. So I talked to Julia, talked about my idea, talked about her idea, and find out that she had just moved in the last year to D.C. from Madison, Wisconsin. About an hour from where I live. And then I said, "Okay, so the two of us are in. We need another person because we got to build this on a prayer campaign."
And actually, Pat, just to interrupt real quick, she moved from Mount Horeb, Wisconsin,
right?
My former parish.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
She was my parishioner.
Just outside of Madison.
Yeah.
And so I said, there's another person we need to talk to. And because we need to build this on our prayer campaign. And I'm aware of this 54-day rosary novena that we've been doing in Wisconsin. So I next person we have to talk to is Father Richard Heilman. And she starts laughing. And she says, well, he's my former pastor. And I've done rosary rallies with him in Madison, you know, for years.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, the world starts to get a lot smaller as we make these connections. And so, you know, I call Father Rick. I don't know you. I've never seen you. I've never talked to you. I call Father Rick and I try to explain the idea as best I can. And Father Rick says, all right, I'm in. But do you know what day it is? And I said, well, actually, no, I don't. Father Rick says it's April 30th. It's the feast of Pope Saint Pius V. Who's he? Pope Saint Pius V presided over the Battle of Lepanto. Pope Pius V called for the Christian world to unite together in praying the rosary to defeat the Turks in the Battle of Lepanto. The Battle of Lepanto was won on October 7th, 1571. And in commemoration of that, Pope Pius named that the feast day of Our Lady of Victory, which later became the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. So as Father Rick is fond of saying, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, which is day 54 of the 54-day Rosary Novena that,
right.
that
we had done. So the whole idea was, let's build this on the 54-day Rosary Novena, which starts on the Solemnity of the Assumption on August 15th, concludes on the October 7th Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and all of a sudden things start to come together. So, you know, we start to cobble this prayer campaign together. Father Rick, I don't remember how many people you had on your contact list, but it was probably several thousand people. We talked to some other groups, apostolates, ministries to contribute their contacts. And all of a sudden we started to get up to 5,000-6,000 and more to, you know, send out our first Novena for our nation. So it was the 54-day Rosary Novena for our nation, started August 15, 2016, concluded on October 7th, 2016. And over the course of that prayer campaign, we grew from a few thousand prayer warriors to how many did we end that year with?
I think that first year we were between 20 and 30,000.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but multiples of what we started with.
Right.
And then we also planned to conclude that with the first National Rosary Rally. Right. And so part of this was to plan to get together, as was the first idea, in our nation's capital, in front of the Capitol building on Capitol Hill, get people together to pray the rosary, get prominent speakers, and to, you know, unite in a pivotal place for and pray for our country to return to God and to holiness.
Right.
And so we were there, October 7th, 2016. We were there, and Doug, you were there with us at our first one, and you've been at each one since then as well. And, you know, we got people together there. We concluded the National Rosary Rally, and it was just an amazing, amazing thing. So now that's October 7th, and there was a national election coming up. And Father Rick also put together some additional prayers to bridge the time between October 7th and the election date in November that year. I don't remember exactly what those were, Father.
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so is it time where I can tell what happened on day one when we started the 54-day rosary?
Yes. Now you can go through that chronology.
It was pretty amazing. So again, this is the 2016 election year. Remember, all the polls said this isn't going to happen, you know. And to be clear here, because we get accused of politics, we are pro-life, okay? So the enemy of my enemy is my friend, okay? So there's a line from scripture today that Jesus used because they were trying to say, hey, we caught someone exercising demons and they weren't part of our company. And so he says, whoever is not against you is with you, okay? So that's what this is all about. We want to get in league with those who primarily will bring down the culture of death and bring the culture of life, okay? So that's what this is about. So there was one candidate who was very pro-death, and there was one candidate who was very promising and later would prove to be very in favor of pro-life, okay? So obviously we wanted that candidate. So here's what happened. We started out on August 15th with this first 50-40. It was the second one we actually did ever did, but it was the first one we did it with this team where we got this great marketing leader that we have and great people at the team and got the word out very well and grew our numbers very, very rapidly that year. Anyway, so we started August 15th. That was the day that the campaign completely changed, okay, out of the clear blue. And they had Paul Manafort leading the campaign, which later we would find out that there was, you know, not good stuff going on there. And who do they bring in? Kellyanne Conway, okay? Now, this is a gal who is a daily mass goer. She's a Eucharistic adorer, okay? I think she was pivotal in bringing, I think they're having mass in the White House at least, I think I heard 3 times a week. I think she was part of the, people joke if you go over to her house, it looks like a rectory inside, meaning there's religious artifacts all over the place. But everybody knew Kellyanne. She's just a lovely, lovely lady. So the whole temperament seemed to change in that moment and for the better, because it seemed like it wasn't going well at that point. So August 15th, day one, she's hired. Okay, now we get to October 7th, the day that we end. If everybody remembers that year, there were some explosive things that happened. And the first one was WikiLeaks, okay? That came out on October 7th as we concluded that. And that was devastating for their campaign. Then what we did, and this gets to what we did between October 7th and the election day, we decided to do a no, because the polls looked terrible, all right? And it looked like it was just, this is impossible. This is a lost cause, all right? You know where I'm going with this? St. Jude is the patron saint of lost causes. His feast day is on October 28th. And so we did a novena all the way up to the feast day of October 28th. Now, everybody, Google this. To try to prove me wrong on this. On October 8th, Comey got up and reopened the email investigation on the feast of the patron saint of lost causes. You can't make this up. You can't make these things up. So then we joined in with the Knights of Columbus. They did a novena leading up to the election. And then I just want to throw this in. Wisconsin put us over the top, and Pat and I are from Wisconsin. So anyway, and so we've seen now you can say all you want about this president and this administration, but we're going non right now, the third Catholic appointed Supreme Court justice. Okay. Amy Comey Barrett is a pro-life devout Catholic mom of 7. Okay. Third of the Catholic of the appointees in one term of an administration, which is unheard of, and they're all Catholic, and they're all in favor of life, and then just recently too, we're in the midst of, so that happened during the midst of this 54-day Rosary Novena. You know, the other thing that happened was I thought was extremely monumental, is he's signs the Born Alive Protection Act, okay. I mean, evil had infiltrated so badly that they were trying to normalize that if a baby survives an abortion, you just let it sit there until it stops breathing or whatever. You basically kill a baby who survives. It's sitting there. It's alive. It's outside the mother's womb. And so just recently, the president signed a presidential order that and I don't have the titles just right, but anyways, it said, no, you can't do that. So amazing, amazing things are happening with this Novena for Our Nation, and also when the whole nation is getting together. Now, this year, Pat, right, October 11th, right?
Right. And so just a little more history to where we are today, but I do want you to talk about a number, Father Rick, and that is we talked here about how we started with a few thousand people, got 5,000-6,000 people into the Novena for Our Nation 54-day Rosary Novena with, you know, 20 to 30,000 that first year. Now, your prayer campaigns over the past 4 years and these podcasts have built the U.S. Grace Force up to what number now?
76,000.
76,000.
You can't make this stuff up. No, 76,000. You know, I think
we have to give Doug some credit as co-host of this podcast. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you,
Doug. Big credit. We exploded when Doug was...
We repeated in 2017, we repeated the 54-day Rosary Novena for Our Nation. We were back in D.C. for the National Rosary Rally. And then in 2018, it was another pivotal year, another national election year. And of course, the Supreme Court justice slot up as well. And inspired by some events in Europe, the Rosary to the Borders in Poland, the Rosary right. on the Coasts in the UK and Ireland, Father Rick brought in a couple of members to our organizing team, Bree Dale and Catalina Ramos. And they came in with the idea that we need to do this in the US. And Rosary Coast to Coast was born in 2018.
Right.
And the whole idea there was to get people out in public and organizing Rosary rallies from border to border, from coast to coast. And that's exactly what happened. We had people across all 50 states, everywhere and well beyond our borders as well, joining in together on, in that first year, it was actually on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary on October 7th, right. praying the rosary, most of those in public, gather together and, you know, again, heaven heard us.
Yep.
And do you want to talk, Father Rick, about 2018 and the National Rosary Rally there in Washington, D.C. that year? And Doug, I know you took some incredible video of what was happening at that time in October in 2018.
So you're referring to what we did to weaponize everybody and all that?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So that was a pivotal year, a critical year as well, election year. And some people want to say that, you know, that, well, we lost the House or whatever. But we gained ground in the Senate, and again, Supreme Court appointees were allowed to get in because that happened, okay? So in a lot of ways, 2018 was just a lot in favor of pro-life. But it was at that one that we decided that we wanted to bring the finest weapons that Catholicism offers, right? And we actually... had a priest out there that that is an exorcist, and he was able to do a exorcism of place. He came up to me later. He says, "I did it twice just for good measure." But this is on the grounds in Washington D.C. I can't name who it was because when you do it privately, you know you're okay. But he has to get permission if he does it publicly, and he didn't. You know. So, anyways, but and then we brought out. Exercised and blessed salt. And I brought out, gosh, I think it was about 400 to 500 little vials of this. And also I brought out what's called Epiphany holy water. Okay. The reason it's called Epiphany, some people call it Epiphany water, but it's because in the old rite on the vigil of the Epiphany, there's a whole ritual. And we've done it in my parish now for, I think about 4 or 5 years. On the vigil of the Epiphany. So it'd be January 5th evening because Epiphany is on January 6th. And we have the scola there and servers, but it's a ritual, and it takes like 45 minutes to an hour to do this ritual of several exorcism and litany of the saints and all this stuff and chanting all over the place, all for this exercising and blessing this holy water. And I've come to find out that exorcists say that this is especially powerful in exorcism, this Epiphany holy water. So of course, once I found that out, I had to bring out, you know, like 8 of those water jugs that people use for their water coolers. And so I had a lot of it, and I would fill vials of those too. And so I had 400 to 500 vials of that. And I also brought out green scapulars that were touched to the relic of the true cross. That's that right there. That's the D-Day relic of the true cross. For those who haven't heard the story, real quickly, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, his father was in the D-Day invasion. He moved inland and he found himself in a bombed out castle, and he found himself in the private chapel of the bombed out castle. He figured there's an altar, and also the crucifix was laying on the ground face down. It was life size, and in the dirt, and that irked him because he's a devout Catholic. So, but he had to move out though. So he thought, at least I got to turn the cross over. Okay. So his face isn't in the ground. He went to do that, and the skull cap came off of Jesus. It looked like it was supposed to do this. And this something popped out. And he says, if it came from there, it doesn't belong in the dirt. So he grabbed it quickly and put it in his pocket and moved out. He survived the war. After the war, he visited his sister, who was a nun in Milwaukee. He's in a room full of nuns, and he remembers he has this in his pocket because he wanted to ask them, since it came from that place, they might know. He pulls it out and shows it to them, and they all go down to their knees, and they start doing the sign of the cross because they all knew it was a relic of the true cross. So this is a rescued relic of the true cross from the D-Day invasion, which, you know, I don't think it makes it any more powerful or special, except the story itself points to these heroes, you know, that were willing to be the tip of the spear, the vanguard, right? They're willing to go on. Most of these guys knew, or in those boats that are heading to the shore, knew that probably 90% of them weren't going to come off that alive, yet they went anyway. Okay. You know, and that's a lot like us choosing the cross, right? And so it just the story just makes this so special. So anyways, I had the green scapulars touched to the D-Day relic of the true cross. And I asked them to put these around the grounds, you know, to tuck them here and there where they could find. So off they went, and they were all excited. You know, everybody got their exercise and blessed salt, their Epiphany holy water, and their green scapulars, and off they went like warriors across the ground. Well, I was a little nervous because they're sprinkling white powder on the Washington grounds. You know, that might look a little fishy. Everybody's kind of nervous about things that with white powder, right? But turns out I got story after story that security did see them doing this. And they came up to them and asked, and they told them what they're doing. And the security thought it was the most amazing thing in the world. They encouraged it, and they were doing selfies with these people. I got some pictures of security doing selfies with these people that were going around. But basically what we did is we did the best we could to exercise and bless this place. And I thought, this is amazing. Well, to end my story, I was invited out to Faith and Freedom Coalition award evening, and they honored me with an award that night. There were 2 people receiving an award, and the other person was Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, okay? And he's been talking about the whole time how, how we got to bless and our nation and bless our nation's capital and all this stuff. Well, I got to go up to him and say, you know, kind of nudge him with my elbow, because, by the way, I took care of it for you. Got an exorcist, and I told him the whole story. He's like, his mouth was like, wait, what? What? You did what? Yeah. So, no, but that happened to be the day after we did it, and that we did that awards night.
Father, can you address, and Pat, I'd be hear your thoughts on this too. I mean, Father, you and I have talked a lot about this on past episodes of the podcast about something that really is a concern of yours, is that people have lost touch with the supernatural. They've lost faith and belief in the supernatural. Because everything that you two have just explained, you're talking about this interaction between man and heaven, that there's this interaction between us and God, that we could actually do things down here, pray, fast, you know, organize, you know, these big rosary rallies and prayer events, and that it would actually make a difference, that it would actually, you know, bear fruit. But I know that that's been a concern, Father, of yours. And Pat, I'd like your thoughts on this too, because you've been in the thick of this, especially from behind the scenes and organizational, you know, side of this, that there is absolutely, you know, reaction. Heaven does pay attention to what we call out for, what we ignore. We're getting what we deserve, basically, that God gives you what you want. If you want him, he's there. If you don't, he'll let you have what you're asking for, a life without him to some degree. But, you know, if both your takes on this, you know, about people's lack of belief or trust in supernatural and how important that really is, that we don't lose that.
You take that, Pat. I want to hear what you have to say about that.
I think we can learn a lot from the life of the saints, because the saints are those that have achieved a level of state of grace during their lives through their sacrifices, through their submission of their own will to the divine will. And as a result, they have experienced a thinner veil between our physical worldly existence and that of the supernatural. And so we can learn a lot from the life of the saints. I truly believe that the power of prayer is magnified by those that are seeking to put themselves as close as possible into a state of grace. Now, few of us can fully achieve the life of a saint. I'm sure there are some saints walking around us, among us now. But the closer we are to that state of grace, I truly believe more powerful our individual prayers and our group prayers are. And I have no doubt in my mind that they are heard and acted upon. I'll just go back to the first year that we did the 54-day Rosary Novena for our nation and the National Rosary Rally. It was a presidential election year. You know, that night, election night, you know, it was done. We prayed. We did everything we could. I went to bed at like 9:45 that night, you know, and I just put it in God's hands. And I said, you know, wake up in the morning. So, you know, I got up in the morning at 5 o'clock, checked my phone, got the results, got down on my knees and prayed a rosary in thanksgiving. Now, the priests with whom I work were up to like 3 a.m. watching the election returns.
Not me. I got to see Michael Voris dancing on his desk.
There you go.
That was a fun night with them.
But I truly believe, you know, and I agree completely with that statement, our big problem in our world, and we'll talk more about this tonight, I think, is those that believe in the supernatural versus those that don't. And all those that don't, that are acting in a completely worldly way in opposition to what our Lord wants for us in our lives.
Well, don't you think, sorry, Father, before you get into your comment on this, based on what you just said, Pat, I mean, the title that we've got out there, The Dogma Lives Loudly Within Us. Yeah. Anybody who's been following what's been going on knows why we wrote that in there. That's because of what's going on with the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett. And what you just said, Pat, you know, for Dianne Feinstein to say that a few years back at those confirmation hearings, you know, is really a lot of what you just said. It's this kind of lay of the battlefield of those who believe in the truth of what dogma really means, you know, that the truth lives in us, you know, that the spirit of God, the effort to want to live that faith, contrasted against those who don't. They don't see it as important. They don't want that. They want the watered down kind of Christian or name, Christian in name only. And I just think that statement from her, from Feinstein, Senator Feinstein, to Amy Coney Barrett, really speaks to what you just said, Pat, the difference between those who want the dogma. You know, I say the dogma lives loudly within me and it is screaming to get out. You know, it's busting at the seams to get out. You know, especially in light of everything happening in our world right now, the dogma when it comes to the unborn, when it comes to the truth of marriage, when it comes to the truth of the dignity of who each and every one of us has and is as a child of God, that these truths, these dogmatic truths that the church teaches, not only is it within me, it's like the Hulk coming out of his clothes, you know, ripping and tearing and, you know, don't make me angry. The dogma's going to come out of me even more than before, you know? Right. And so anyway, I'm getting carried away here a little bit, but I, you know, I just think, Pat, when you said that, it made me think about that moment between Amy Coney Barrett at that confirmation hearing with Dianne Feinstein. You know, for her to say that, I just thought, whoa, what an absolute statement that you just kind of summed up right there, Pat, with what you said about.
Yeah, she could have said, Dianne Feinstein, she could have said, uh-oh, you actually believe this stuff, right? You actually believe in the power of miracles. See, that's the other thing, too. They call it the people of praise. Mm-hmm. These are people that actually believe in miracles. Listen, before anybody starts criticizing charismatics and people who believe in miracles, realize this. That all over this country, all over this world, do you know where the exorcists primarily send people who are oppressed by demons? They send them to people like those that come from the Charismatic Renewal Group. Mm-hmm. The people who actually believe in miracles. So the dogma lives loudly in you means that in spades. It means, uh-oh. You actually believe this stuff. So go ahead and be Catholic is just fine. As long as you don't believe it, you know, as long as you're not following it, you know, as long as you're mocking it, even, you know, we have one candidate that stood up and presided at a quote unquote gay marriage. You know, I mean, that goes directly against what we believe and teach as a Catholic people. So they're not a threat, you know, as long as you profess Catholicism, but go whatever way you want, you know, that's just fine. You're not a threat to what? And I've been calling it too. It's a religion. This secular progressivism is a religion. Okay. And I even half jokingly put up on social media that this goes against the Constitution because they're forcing the religion of secular progressivism on us, and they can't do that according to the Constitution. You know, I don't have it in front of me, but you're not supposed to make a religion, okay, in our nation. You know, there shouldn't be one religion, and yet that's exactly what they're trying to do. But what is progressivism? It's basically it's more than just weak in faith in God. It's a revolt against God. I mean, you look at what they stand for. It actually is taking the word of God and going, okay, now we're going to do the opposite of that. You know, whatever that word of God is saying, we're going to do the opposite of that. So it's a revolt. It's a rebellion against it. And this is the religion that's being forced upon us right now. So when we push back with our prayer, with our truth, okay, with our strength, okay? And what did I just do there? I just did priest, prophet, and king. With our superpowers that we receive in baptism, when we push back on that, uh-oh, okay, the dogma lives louder than you. Uh-oh, you are actually strong? Okay, we can't have that. We can't have that. We can have pretenders. We can have fake Catholics all you want, but don't let a real Catholic get out here, okay? And see, that's what's happening. I'm going to close with this too, because, and I might get into a little bit more in the podcast here, but, you know, 2018 was also something else. It was the year after the centennial year of Fatima. And I'm in the school of thought, I think a lot of people are, that we just had gone through the 100-year unbinding of Satan, okay? So what did 2018 mean? First of all, how did we overtake Satan? How did we become stronger than he was? And I always do this with my hands because we started believing in the supernatural power of God more and more and more and more. And so, you know, we were losing. We were getting crushed by Satan. He was eating our lunch because we stopped believing the supernatural power of God. Then more people started doing adoration. Then more people started doing the rosary. Then more people started seeking, you know, very devout and holy and sacred masses. Then, you know, then they started believing the supernatural power of God. Okay, now we've just overtaken Satan. And you know what 2018 was? He was upset. He wanted to get back, okay? He was throwing everything but the kitchen sink at us. And he has been since 2017, okay? And that's what I believe. That's what I believe is going on right now, is Satan wants his power, his greater strength. That's what he asked for. He wanted a greater strength. Well, you know, I always contend angels don't change. we change, okay? We became less in our belief in the supernatural power of God. And we just got that back. Thank you, Pope St. John Paul II. Thank you, Pope Benedict. Thank you, people like Mother Angelica and so many other people out there that helped us to believe in the supernatural power of God and overtake Satan as we did in 2017. Right, Pat?
Absolutely. And just to add to that, you know, going back to that statement by Senator Feinstein, what is really behind that statement? What's the intent? Well, I think it's a challenge, and it's a challenge to universal truth. It's a challenge to God's truth. It's a challenge to the truth that's contained in the doctrine, dogma, and tradition of our Catholic faith. And so why is she doing that? Well, because she and many today don't believe in truth. They believe that everything is relative. And that's that relativism of the culture. And so it's a rejection of truth. And how do you find that? How do you discern that? Well, it's easy to see because the things that they are proponents of are built on lies. And the only way you can justify those are with further lies, lies right. that build upon lies that build upon lies.
Right.
So, you know, they're proponents of abortion, which deny the humanity of the living human being in the womb. That's right. a lie. How do they justify that? With more lies. Yep. You know, it's a rebellion against God's truth, against God's natural law, and it's a rebellion against our faith. And that's why we're called to do what we are doing. That's right. why we have to gather together in prayer. Yep. And yes, individual prayer is powerful and we all need to do it. And it's got to be a part of our daily lives. But just look at how that's magnified when we pray together. You know, when we gather in prayer groups, when we gather in public especially, and we demonstrate the power of our Catholic faith and doctrine and tradition in yeah. public. And that's what these prayer campaigns and events are all about. And yeah. that's why today, in the year 2020, we have to do it even more so.
Yeah, right now we're facing, I mean, something different this year than we did. As you mentioned, Pat, earlier, 2016 was intense. It was serious, but there's a whole kind of different lay of the battlefield right now with regards to, they talk about the results and the threat of the, you know, the mail-in ballot problem and lawyers being ramped up to challenge in every state, you know, from the left. We've got a very, very clear line. Of course, what happened with Father Altman and his tone and manner approach, shaking yeah. things up like it did and really putting us in a position of having to just clearly get on one side or the other. Pat, I'm curious from your perspective and what you've, because you've been following this for so long and you've seen all this unfold. How do you see this, since you commented on this earlier, you mentioned this time it is different. There, it's the intensity of it. I mean, so many things seem to show that our president right now, looks pretty strong. When you just look at rallies, for example, in the news, I mean, the numbers of people that are coming out compared to rallies coming out for Biden and so forth. I mean, it looks really good when you look at those dynamics of it. And yet the polls are all saying, so many of them, that Biden's so far ahead and this and that. We had that, of course, with Hillary last time around. But when we see the potential, the threats of violence, the violence, the burning of cities, the things that are already going on and have for quite some time now, several months now, and they're threatening to continue this. You know, they're threatening to continue to drive this intimidation angle. What do you see, Pat, as you see this laid out now? And ultimately, the people who are watching or listening right now, the response that we have to have when it comes to supernatural response, prayer and so forth, to actually deal with this in the most powerful way, which is turning to prayer and turning to that spiritual approach. But kind of an overview. I know it's kind of a long, convoluted question here. How do you see it when the threats are so much more ramped up, the intimidation factor, the burning of cities is already happening. They're threatening to have that continue to go more. Everything looks good in some ways. The optics look good for Trump with regards to rallies and support and boat rallies and all of this. And yet, there's still something in the back of our minds that says, you know what? I don't trust all this. I think this could be twisted. If the left believes in killing babies, they'll do anything right. to turn this thing upside down. Pat, what are your thoughts on everything that I kind of threw at you there?
Well, I truly believe we're living in times that were prophesied. I think you can find these times that we live in described in the Bible. And it's a time of rebellion. And it's, you know, as I said earlier, it's a rebellion against God. It's people that are doing the devil's work. Father Rick has talked about the 100 years that the devil's granted for his power to go, you know, pretty much, you know, unopposed. But I think the devil has a lot of people doing his work now that have bought into his lies. And so it's the devil versus God. It's evil versus good, but it's lies versus truth. And I think that's what our culture is all about. They're buying into lies. There is such a lack of discernment of truth, a lack of seeking truth. And so you got, you know, all these things that are going on around us. And it's in Father Rick has spoken of it as rage and division. And that's exactly what's going on. The devil is having his way and people are responding with rage and division. And, you know, we can't unite unless we unite behind God's truths. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think we that are the Catholic faithful, that are devout, that are practicing, as opposed to those that simply call ourselves Catholic, I can band together because there's real power in that, in what we do. Now, you might think because of my marketing background that I buy into polls. I do not. Mm-hmm. I pay very little attention to polls because to do so denies the supernatural power of prayer and devotion. And so I believe polls don't indicate what the future will bring. I think, you know, let's rely on what the power that's, you know, in our Catholic faith, and polls will not predict the future.
You know, and I'm sorry, Pat, you say that, it makes me think about a statement that came from Mother Angelica, you know, years ago when they asked her about her budget. She had a meeting with a bunch of U.S. Catholic bishops. They said, and what's your budget, you know, for the network, EWTN? And she laughed a little bit. She says, oh, I don't believe in budgets, sweetheart. You know, she says, sweetheart. Honey, budgets are from the devil, she said. Because she said, if you put your trust in the budget, you're not putting your trust in God, in the supernatural power of God. So I like that angle. You know, the way you put that is that we can't trust the polls. We have to trust what God can do. But we have to cooperate with that grace. You know, U.S. Grace Force, we have to cooperate with that grace, so that God's supernatural power can work through, you know, the ordinary means of what we do here. And boy, if that wasn't what happened that night, you know, as like you said, Father, people went to bed thinking, oh no, Hillary's got it. And by morning, it was like, you know, the complete polar opposite of what was supposed to happen.
Right.
It could happen again. I honestly think if everything fair and equal is on the field here, I think it's a landslide in favor of Trump.
Yeah.
If everything's fair, you know, and that's my concern, is that it's not going to be fair.
And I think, you know, we have to be a bit cautious because we have to place everything into God's will, you know, mm-hmm. and so that's why we're doing this. And so there is so much more rage and division and evil occurring around us, and persecution, denial of truths, the violence of words, the violence of actions is almost unprecedented. In terms of what we're seeing around us. And a lot of that is fomenting against the Catholic Church, against our churches, our shrines, our statues, you know, and our people. Yeah. And so what are we called to do? What are we called to do in the face of all this evil? And so, you know, bringing it back to what's going on currently. So we talked about what is behind, you know, the 54-day Rosary Novena for our nation. And now this is the fifth one this year. We're getting close to concluding it. We've talked about coming up on the fifth National Rosary Rally in Washington, D.C. And we will be there again in our nation's capital, praying for the return to God and holiness. We talked about Rosary Coast to Coast and the roots of that. And that has grown as well. And I just looked before we came on, and, you know, we have close to 1,000 public Rosary rallies already registered on our Rosary Coast to Coast map, which is way ahead of where we were a year ago. And we still have close to 2 weeks left. So, you know, the number of people are responding, they're recognizing that. And we do have another opportunity for people to join together this year. And it's something that Father Rick is the spiritual director of. And that is, we formed. And here's what's really interesting is that the more you do this, the more hear the call and want to come together and join forces. And that's what this spiritual battle is all about. We have to join forces.
We have to join forces.
Yes.
Can I throw something in there, Pat, real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, because it's a perfect point when you said we've got to join forces. I got a St. Louis de Montfort relic behind me too. Okay, he's one of my favorite saints, along, and St. Maximilian Kolbe's there too. But here's what St. Louis de Montfort said. First of all, I want to preempt by saying this. I just loved what happened Saturday on the Washington Mall. This past Saturday was, they called it the Return 2020, you know? And it was, I think they said 100,000 people. And you saw these pictures of a mass of humanity, okay, out on the mall. And that's actually right at the place we're going to be on October 11th too, okay? But ours is just a little different. Instead of asking everybody to come to one place, okay, we're going to have, I think, at least that number, but spread all over the whole country doing the same thing. And, you know, God love them. I love our Christian brothers and sisters, evangelicals, all of them that are just filled with, you know, love for the Lord and belief in the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that went a long way to bring the spirit of revival back to our nation. And I think what we're doing too. But here's what St. Louis de Montfort said. He said, when people say the rosary together, it is far more formidable to the devil than one said privately, because in this public prayer, it is an army that is attacking him. He can often overcome the prayer of an individual, but if this prayer is joined to other Christians, the devil has much more trouble in getting the best of it. That's St. Louis de Montfort. And that's exactly what we feel called to do. And by we, I don't mean us three here. I mean the tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands that will be out praying with belief, okay, using the weapon for our times, the Holy Rosary, and pray that God, you know, blesses, heals our land, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, that God heals our land. But we also have to repent, you know, and fast, you know, and I'm calling people, or we all are calling people to let's pray mightily and let's fast with abandon. Let's do the best we can going into this time where, you know, Nineveh was, or 40 days more, or you will be overthrown. I find that's a fascinating that they use the word overthrown. Okay, 40 days more. And then what do? They fasted. They put on ashes, you know, they repented of their sins. Okay. That's what we're asking God to do is to heal our land. And we're crying out to the best of our ability. Right, Pat?
Absolutely. And I have to talk about this because this is where we are today. So even before anyone could foresee the craziness of 2020, we started hearing from various apostolates across the country. So we heard from Diocesan Rosary Congress. They do wonderful work with Rosary Congresses and across the country, across dioceses. And we heard from Kristen and Jim and Peggy there, and they wanted to join forces with us. We heard from Dennis and Angelina in Canada, and they wanted to join forces with us, with their apostle. We heard from a total of, I think we're up to 14, probably now 15 different apostolates across the U.S. and Canada who wanted to come together and join forces. And we formed a coalition. Now, this coalition was born out of the prophetic vision of St. John Bosco and the two columns, the higher column containing the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, and the lower column, Our Lady. And, you know, so these are apostolates that are doing Eucharistic devotions, Marian devotions, or a combination of the two. And so we formed the Coalition of Eucharistic and Marian Apostolates, CEMA. And we did so to, yes, support each other and what each of our individual apostolates are doing, but mostly to see what we could do and accomplish by joining forces and going beyond what any of us, our individual apostolates, could accomplish. And what did we end up with for 2020? Triumph Tour.
The Triumph Tour.
2020. Yeah.
Yes.
What is that? Well, it's upon us starting this week on the September 29th, Feast of the Archangels. We start 15 days of events. And these are, if you are familiar with Father Patrick Peyton, who launched Rosary Bowls and Rosary Crusades in the 50s and the 60s and gathered hundreds of thousands of people together in public profession of our faith. Well, what we're doing is born out of that. And so we're doing Rosary events across the US and Canada starting September 29th. Into mid-October, and we are inviting people to join with us. Yes, for those that can go to triumphtour2020.com and find an event near you, please come in person. But for most of you, please join us virtually. All of these events will be live streamed, and we are inviting all of you to join us on the Triumph Tour 2020 and join together with us in prayer across these very, very powerful Eucharistic and Rosary events across the U.S. and Canada. So please go to triumphtour2020.com and you'll find all the information there, links to the events, the Zoom video conference. Everyone's using Zoom these days.
I know.
You probably know my daughter who works for Zoom before I...
Is that right?
Yes, she does.
Nice.
So please join in. This is a very, very powerful way to respond to the craziness that's going on around us.
Yep. We're going to turn this bark around. But, you know, the dream of St. John Bosco is that they were in the middle of a storm, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are talking about storms, the storminess of 2020, right? I mean, we're getting beat up. And then there were attacking ships coming at this, as the dream of St. John Bosco goes. And what they were trying to do is they were lurching forward. I don't know the sea terms, but what? To try to moor themselves to those two columns, okay? And I always remind people, remember I talked about how we stopped believing and Satan got stronger? My seminary experience, there were two things that stood out, okay, that are horrifying when you look back at it. One, we did not get offered 1 minute of Eucharistic adoration in all my seminary training. Okay. That's one column. Okay. Here's the other column. If you had a devotion to the Blessed Mother, a rosary, a statue in your room, you were not only asked to leave seminary, you were asked to go see a psychiatrist because that was considered fanatical. You talk about losing power. Okay. This is Satan. Okay. And this is what we believe. That was the 1980s. This is how bad it got, okay? Look at where we are now. Look at where we are. The adorers that there are out there, the amount of people that believe in the rosary, that lean on the power of the intercessory prayers of our Blessed Mother, it's no wonder we've overtaken Satan, and it's no wonder that Satan's having a temper tantrum right now to try to get it back, right?
Absolutely. And I need to plug one other thing. You had Kevin O'Brien on a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you talked about how the Unite Wisconsin event that we did in our state capitol here in Madison on August 15th, the Solemnity of the Assumption.
That was epic.
Has grown into a movement across the country. And I have to give you some numbers that Kevin didn't have at the time.
By the way, August 15th, again, was the day one of the Novena for our Nation.
Right. Absolutely. Go ahead, Convergence.
Yeah. Father,
by the way, Father Rick likes Convergence. So
I love
if you want to get on his good side.
You can't make this stuff up.
So as we speak, people were ignited by the Unite Wisconsin event. You know, we had a public Eucharistic procession with two bishops, a patriotic rosary rally. And so it's a happening across the country. Right now, if you go to uniteournation.com, you will find the statistics. 27 confirmed events across the country.
Wow.
And 21 in process, all of which include public Eucharist processions. Wow. And public profession of the rosary.
Wow. Now, this is with priests for sure, but a lot of those cases, bishops.
Most of those have bishops.
Right.
And on October 11th, which is
Devil's Going Down, baby,
and National Rosary Rally, there are, I think, close to 10 events now across the country on that day alone. So it's a very powerful day. So please join. Find a way to join in on October 11th.
Yeah, I got
a very, very powerful day for us.
Real powerful is that same team that put together that August 15th in Madison, where they had over 3,000 people. It was unbelievable. If we can, we should link the video of that. It's like a 3-minute video. It's so powerful. But anyways, that same team discerned the next place they need to go, and they're doing it on October 4th with Archbishop Lestecky, get this, in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Okay, Kenosha, that's been, you know, terrorized and burning, and it's been in the news nationwide. That's where they're going to do it this October 4th. So unbelievable what's going on.
Well, and I can say here in Tyler, in the diocese here, Bishop Strickland is looking into doing a United Nation Eucharistic procession here as well.
Awesome.
And we've already got scheduled an 8-day Rosary Congress that starts on, I think, the 2nd of October and works all the way up to about the 9th or 10th. So each deanery is going to have a parish that's going to be doing rosary adoration and mass. So
wow,
Bishop Strickland's doing a, you know, more than week long rosary congress, all wow, geared up right before October 13th. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Bishop Strickland's really jumping.
And realize this too, if people are hearing about it now and they're going, hey, how can I get this together that fast? We could use some of these in the middle of October leading up to the election, you know? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be at that time, you know? Go ahead and schedule a little later in the month if you right, can't get it ready by October 11th.
I got that. And you can do these, you know, from now on till, you know, through the up to the election and even beyond, because we're still going to need prayer right, beyond.
Yeah.
And I do want to correct, I think I said uniteournation.com. It's actually uniteournation.net. So please go to uniteournation.net to find a way to participate or even organize.
You got to link that too.
Yep. Or even organize one in your state and your municipality.
Yeah. Just check the description below, viewers and listeners out there, and you'll find it on there, uniteournation.net. Yeah. No, and this is the kind of stuff that, like you said, needs to be done not just now. I mean, there's an excitement now, of course, because we're leading up to, you know, the October's the month of the Rosary. And, you know, October 7th is the Feast of Our Lady of Victory, Feast of the Most Holy Rosary. But the idea is that we get ourselves in that very holy habit of praying a daily rosary until we have no more breath in our lungs. You know, that should be the goal. That's what Our Lady's asked for. Fatima. Oh, wow. How many places? Fatima, Church Approved Apparitions, Akita, Japan, Rwanda, Africa, Quapa, Nicaragua. I mean, constantly Our Lady comes and says, pray the daily rosary for peace and to avert war. And, you know, that's the one thing in Fatima that of all the things that she said to the children, Jacinta, Francisco, Lucia, there was one thing that she repeated in each of the 6 apparitions. And that was that statement that when you pray the rosary, you can bring peace to the world and you can avert war. I mean, that one thing was said 6 times, each of the 6 apparitions. That's really the only thing she repeated, is that you can bring peace to the world and you can avert war when you spend 15 to 20 minutes a day praying the rosary. This is not rocket science. And you don't need to be a scripture scholar. You don't need to understand all 21 general councils of the church. You don't need to understand papal encyclicals and documents. Those things can help our faith. But praying the rosary, school of the Holy Family, 15 to 20 minutes a day, and we're going to say to God, we couldn't make time for that, you know? And it's a sort of thing where there are people who will say, I don't have time. I just don't have time. I mean, none of us have time for anything if you really think about it, because we can fill our lives with 800 TV channels, you know, a gazillion YouTube videos. I mean, this particular one is a very important one. You should all be watching every week, of course. Grace Force. We know that. Great. Yeah. But when it comes to actually taking time to pray the rosary, yeah, you have to make time. You make time to pray, you make time to exercise, you make time to be with the people that you love. You know, it's important to show love by making time, by putting things aside for the sake of the most important things, prayer, family, sacraments, so forth. So make time for the rosary if you're not a daily rosary prayer. I cannot encourage that enough. It is a huge, huge life-transforming habit to get into.
Yeah,
and I'd like to just add one final call to action for me, and that is to join Father Rick and Doug and many others at the National Rosary Rally on Sunday, October 11th in Washington, D.C., on Capitol Hill in front of our nation's capital. We'll have Bishop Joseph Coffey of the Archdiocese of Military Services. We'll have Monsignor Charles Pope. And if you're not a follower of Monsignor Pope and his prolific and proficient writings, please sign up and read his stuff. He's amazing. And we will have Sister Deirdre Byrne, who spoke at the Republican National Convention so eloquently. She'll be with us that day. We'll have Father Stephen Imbarato, the protest priest. And he is more active than, you know, many of us can ever hope to be against abortion and for pro-life and others there. Please come to D.C. Don't let travel restrictions.
And Doug.
He's a, yep, absolutely. And don't let travel restrictions scare you away. We are there to worship. We are there to profess our faith. And the travel restrictions in D.C. allow for that. So please come and join us in Capitol Hill Sunday, October 11th.
Yeah, the idea is that everybody's praying the glorious mysteries at the exact same time, if possible. But that is 3 o'clock Central. It'd be 4 o'clock Eastern for us out in Washington. And then you can figure out all the other time zones yourself.
We want to show the world that the dogma lives loudly within us.
Yes.
And it's coming out like a lion.
That's Amen. Right. One last thing I want to throw out is a possibility to my brother priests, if you're listening, or if you just want to go and contact your priest, please consider on the election day having adoration in your church. I would even say maybe through the night as votes are being counted and things like that. But for me, that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to go from 7:30 Mass on November 3rd and offer adoration right through till 7:30 Mass on November 4th. So that's just another good suggestion for everybody. You know, we believe in the power of prayer, right? And we believe in the Eucharist and the Holy Rosary, the two pillars of St. John Bosco. We believe the dogma lives loudly within all of us, okay? God bless you all. All right, Pat, it's been awesome having you on. Pat.
Thank you for inviting me. It was wonderful.
Yeah, so great to have you on. And this is great, a lot of good information. All right, so let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all.
God bless.
Good being with you, Pat, Doug.